Welcome to Radio Naturopath, the call-in talk show about health and natural medicine. It's September 25th, 2019. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician with my co-host, Ron Meniza. If you'd like to participate in the conversation about natural medicine, you can email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. That's radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org. You can also check out my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at FranStorchND. And if you'd like to call in, the number to call is 860-486-9487. That's 860-486-9487. All right. So how are you today, Ron?
I'm doing great, Fran. How are you doing today?
You are?
I'm all right. Well, you know, I'm okay.
The weather's been cold. Really great lately. It's so beautiful.
It's cold.
Cold. Come on. It's the high. When I got here, it was in the high 60s. That's not bad. I mean, it's not 90 degrees, but I mean, we're going to have some, I don't know, we're going to have some gorgeous weather the next couple of weeks, and I'm not going to be here for a lot of it.
Yeah, what's with that?
And I'm wondering if I'll get any more, you know, when I get back, because next week you're supposed to get some 80s here. Now, yeah. I'm going to have plenty of 80s where I am because I'm going to Florida.
Right.
I'm not going to be live for the next couple of weeks because I have Florida next week and then it's Yom Kippur. So, anyway, Lashana Tova, Tikatevu Umituka to all of our Jewish listeners and those who observe Rosh Hashanah. You know, it's going to be 5780. And Erev Rosh Hashanah is, 5780. Hmm. It's going to be Erev Rosh Hashanah is, it is Sunday night. And so Rosh Hashanah in the diaspora, meaning not in Israel, will be celebrated on Monday, you know, Sunday night to Monday night to Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then Yom Kippur is the following week, Tuesday night to Wednesday night. And
wow.
I'll be back for that. Yeah.
Wow. So you'll be back here for that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I'm gonna come back a week from Sunday. So I'll be here for Yom Kippur. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's that kind of year. It's that kind of time of year. And what Jewish people do this time of year is we take an internal inventory and we figure out what's going on with us and we take a look at what's going on in our lives and we do introspection. So Jewish New Year is, it's fun and it's sweet, but it's not like all out celebration like some of our holidays. You know, the Purim, when we celebrate Purim in the winter, it's celebrated pretty much like Mardi Gras. And the reason it's celebrated by like Mardi Gras is because of Mardi Gras, because Mardi Gras is around the same time of year. So in the diaspora, they decided they were going to celebrate it in that insane, fun way because you needed a party in the middle of the winter.
Of course you do.
Kind of like how I know it's about a month early. Well, it depends on how the year lines up, whether it's a leap year or not. But, you know, in the old Earth spirituality celebrations, there's a celebration halfway between the solstice and the equinox, which is that happens at Bridget or Candlemas, which is February 2nd, you know, Groundhog Day.
Okay.
Because there were those who thought, you know, it would be nice. The light is starting to return, and it would be nice if we all got together and hung out. And, you know, it's not the solstice. And, you know, if you're celebrating Christianity or Judaism, it's not the holidays. But we need a reason to get together and hang out and have fun. And, mm-hmm. you know, because it's the middle of the winter, and we've been hunkering down. Yeah, we're going to be hunkering down in a few weeks, and it just seems crazy because we still have summer weather. When I looked at the weather, I said, well, I'm not taking out the sweaters yet. So let's talk about my poor knee. I'm not real clear which part of my knee is sprained. I'm still working on it. It's better than it was last week. It's not as consistently incredibly swollen, but it's taking a bit of time because, of course, I have to be in my life.
Yeah.
And what's weird about it is that the discomfort moves around, and I'm not sure what that's about. That sometimes it hurts on one side, sometimes it hurts on the other. That says to me that there's swelling and that there's various tendon ligaments that are affected. And I went to Dr. Suez, and Dr. Suez said he didn't think it was my meniscus, that my meniscus is staying in place. Well, there could be some meniscus instability. It just wasn't out of alignment the last time he saw it. And he's going to look at it again today, which is really good. So one of the things is if you have a sprained strain, you can get chiropractic. And my chiropractor puts my meniscus back in place. So it's not just for your back. In fact, chiropractic is not just for musculoskeletal things. If you have anything going on, the idea is that if your spine is out of alignment, there are nerves that are feeding any part of your body. So chiropractic can be helpful for anything that is going on in your body, even if you have a cold. So if you're getting into that cold and flu season, which I know you are, you can get your neck adjusted, and it may help help things flow better, that you get through your cold better. All right. So we had that. So what I'm doing is I'm still taping, although I haven't figured out what the best way to tape. And I think that my tape is falling off because I was ordered off the bike on Monday. I rode 3 days in a row, very short. By the way, did a wonderful ride to Econ Kill Turkey Farm. And maybe we should talk about that next show.
Yeah.
Really, it's really so beautiful out there. And because I drove there and parked and rode from there, I got to spend some time there. What a neat place. Anyway, so
a neat place.
We'll talk about that in a little bit. But anyway, I did some riding, and I did, short rides like 20, 21, 19, and 11, but 3 days in a row. And when I got to Dr. Suez on Monday, he said, "Why are you riding so much? Why don't you, normal people, when they're, when they're injured, they take a few days off. Why don't you do that?" I'm like, "All right." So I said, "But you're going to have to tell me, what day it's okay to get back on my bike. Otherwise I'll ride. You have to be the arbiter of this. Otherwise I'll do it." I may not be like other patients who are like, because I see a lot of patients, unfortunately, they'll get an injury and they'll be doing some exercise, and then they'll get an injury, and then they stop exercising, and it's 3 months later, 4 months later, and they still haven't gotten back to it. That's not me. I'm like, like a lot of your athletes, we're chomping at the bit. Tell me what day I can get back on. But he said to me, "Go swimming." So I did. And, the pool, I was talking to a very nice man named John. John used to be the diving coach for UConn, and God bless him, he just retired. So I saw him in the pool and we chatted, and he said, "I am so thankful for this pool." And I said, and I felt like, I completely agree with you. What a nice pool. I know they're going to have a fantastic pool over at the new athletic building here at UConn.
They have a couple of them.
And that's probably going to be equally fantastic.
Oh, but, sure.
The Mansfield Community Center pool is one of the loveliest pools I've been in, just because I think it's the feng shui. They really did a nice job with the lighting in there, because they there's big windows all the way around, so there's lots of sunlight coming in. And while you're swimming, you can see the seasons. So if it's snowing, you can see the snow outside. If it's raining, you can see that. You can see the leaves changing. And John said that to me as he was doing a flip turn. He looks up and he could see the leaves, and that made him really happy. And I agree with him. It's really set up very nice. But I must say that swimming, if you can get in the water, if you're trying to rehab anything, getting in the water is a great thing. If you don't know how to swim, even getting in the water and splashing around, you're going to take the weight off of whatever you're rehabbing. And you can just do exercises in the water. Or really, you can just splash around. I'm leaving for Florida tomorrow, and you bet I plan to get in the Gulf and just splash around and get some of that salt water on my body. And I'm going to go with the negative ions that are at the beach. They're going to help to heal me. That's going to be a nice thing.
And you have to say hi to my friend Ellen, too.
Yeah, say hi to my friend Ellen.
Do some yoga.
Do some yoga
on
the beach.
Yeah.
Yes, we'll do that. So still using Arthroben, which is that neat collagen peptides and flavocoxids, anti-inflammatory and rebuilding. Still using CBD topically and internally, although the CBD cream that I have is very high in menthol and camphor. And I put it on my knee while I was, right before I was doing some charting last night at the office. And the smell of it was so intense, it started to give me a headache.
Ew.
Yeah, because it's really heavy in menthol and camphor, and I may have to ultimately find a CBD cream that doesn't rely on menthol and camphor, because, that nice cooling, like Bengay has menthol in it. That's part of what it has, and it's got that heating cooling effect. I'm not a big fan of that, but I actually was getting a headache, and I don't get headaches, so my headache was very slight, but I was getting uncomfortable smelling that camphor and menthol for so long. But it did help. It does make my knee feel better. And so I also, magnesium, esterified fatty acids. Like I said, we're off the bike until Friday, and I don't know if I'll get on the bike on Friday because Mom and I are going to St. Augustine, which will be very interesting.
What's in St. Augustine?
St. Augustine is the first, it's the oldest city in the U.S. It's where the Fountain of Youth is. Yeah.
Oh.
Cortez discovered
or
it.
Or the thought that the Fountain of Youth may be there.
Lots of good history and lots of neat architecture. It's something I can do with my mom. She's not as outdoorsy as I am.
I know.
And she likes history and knowledge and learning and stuff because she's a lifelong teacher, and which means she's a lifelong learner. You know, the word for teacher in Hebrew is the same as the word for learn. Lamed, limod, that's the same root. Yep. So anyway, it was suggested to me to get massage as well, that I should get massage to the surrounding tendons in the surrounding area. I have not done that one yet, but I might. And even Epsom salt baths. I don't know if I'll get to the Epsom salt baths, but I will certainly get in the ocean, which will be really cool. All right. So the other thing I wanted to talk about before I talk about the main story today is colds and flus. I just want to do a quick bit on that because I'm seeing so many of them.
It's happening. I just talked to somebody else who's been fighting off something.
Yeah, and I've definitely been seeing patients coming in who are sick, and patients who are sick who are complaining that they didn't just get a cold, they got that bad bronchitis. They didn't just get a cold, they got a bad sinusitis. And it won't let go. So I'm seeing more of this. And it's really interesting. Where, first of all, that people are getting sick in the first place. And second of all, and it's not even the end. It's not even October. And people are getting sick.
Yeah, with that?
Well, what's with that is as soon as school starts.
There's that.
So what we have now is cold and flu season and July. You know how they say in Montana they have two seasons, winter and July? Well, we now have cold and flu season and July.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. The minute that school starts, and I just don't remember. Do you feel like 10 years ago, 20 years ago, it was like this? It was this bad that, you know, the minute school started, everybody got sick?
Yeah.
It's always been
because
like that.
20 years ago, I had, you know, Greg in school.
Oh.
So, yeah, if you've got people in school, then you see this all the time. It's kind of a, ask any teacher.
So I guess this is a very... We're in a very schooly town.
Mm-hmm. We are.
Yeah, right, because we have a university. Well, we have a couple universities because we have Eastern down in Willimantic, and then we have lots of schools, and then we have lots of teachers. So, and I see them all. And well, and it doesn't matter. It's once school is open, if you go out in public at all, you're going to be exposed to stuff. In fact, you know, shout out to my grandma Sylvia, who was in rehab in the facility where she's staying. They discouraged me from coming because there was a big cold going around the facility. And that was last weekend.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. So I just want to, you know, have people be aware. Cold and flu season is here. And you can get a cold, flu, cough, sinusitis at any time. That if you want to try to prevent it, it's a really good idea to do all your protective measures. Protective measures being wash your hands regularly, carry hand sanitizer with you. You get a little pocket size and carry it with you. And, you know, if you're in a school environment, sanitize your hands every few hours of the day. You can use sanitizer. You can use soap and water. You want to scrub, and you want to scrub for 15 to 20 seconds. You can sing Happy Birthday or the ABCs, and that'll give you the length of time that you need. But the idea is to scrub, and you want to scrub the top of your hands, the bottom, the palms of your hands. You want to scrub in between your fingers, and you want to scrub down to your wrists. And just give a good scrub. I mean, what I do when I'm with my patients, before every patient, I use hand sanitizer. And so they see me scrubbing for a good 20 seconds. And one trick is to take enough hand sanitizer that in order to get rid of it all, it's going to take you 15 to 20 seconds to scrub it. So, you want to wash your hands because if you're going to touch a surface, the way you get sick is you touch a virus, you touch your face, and that's how it happens. So if you touch a surface, you know, you're at risk. So here at WHUS, when we're done, we should really wash our hands, sanitize our hands.
Yeah, I guess we probably should.
Uh-huh. Because we don't know who was here and who was sick and who's getting sick and like that. So that's one thing. The other thing is to clean your nose. Wash your hands, clean your nose, clean your throat. That's the poem. Wash your hands, clean your nose, clean your throat.
Okay.
So clean your nose, pick your poison, however you would like to clean your nose. But cleaning your nose can be using a neti pot. Not everybody likes to use a neti pot, and there are those who complain that when they use the neti pot, they can't get the water to go through. Fine. So if you don't want to use the neti pot, but neti pots can be great because, you can use just a half teaspoon of sea salt, and that's all. You can add essential oils, like one drop of tea tree oil if you want to. You can use, combination herbal products, various herbs. There are sinus oils that you can buy, and you can use, there are other products you can use that are combinations of salt and herbs that will clean your nose out. Mm-hmm. So you can use that in small amounts in your neti pot. If you really can't or won't use the neti pot, then think about a nasal spray. And use a nasal spray that's cleansing and antimicrobial. I'm not thrilled with the idea of people using steroids. If you use a steroid nasal spray like fluticasone or mometasone or budesonide, those are the steroid drugs that usually come in nasal sprays, you have to realize they'll make you feel better because they reduce inflammation. But they suppress your immune system too. So you are actually going to be more likely to get sick. I mean, it'll make you feel better in the short term, but you're going to be more likely to get sick. So, the other thing that's going on right now is that allergens out there. And that's probably making it more likely for people to get sick because their immune systems are down from that. So people with ragweed allergies are still suffering, and you've got the lots of plants are dying back now. So you're getting leaf mold. So you're getting mold in the ground. It's been damp. As the leaves start to fall, you walk around on them, you kick up dust, and then you breathe it in. So that's why it's great to use a neti pot, because a neti pot's going to flush stuff that's out in your nose. If it's easier for you to use a nasal spray, you can get nasal sprays that have a combination of xylitol and grapefruit seed extract and sea salt. You can get just sea salt. I kind of recommend doing something that has more than just sea salt in it because you can get more antimicrobial benefit. Saline nasal spray will help to wash things out. That's good if you're trying to get pollen allergens out of your nose. But if you really want some antimicrobial benefit, I would do something with xylitol and or grapefruit seed extract in it. You can get those. And then you can also get products that have those items. They have the sugar alcohols in it. I have a product that has erythritol and xylitol and a whole bunch of herbs in it, antimicrobial herbs. That's what I'm going to be using when I'm in Florida. And you just put it in your nostril and you kind of snort it up. And you kind of try to kind of keep it there. Tilt your head back and snort it up so much of it doesn't run out. Some of it might. And try not to blow your nose too much. Just pat your nose if you get some drip. And then after you clean your nose, what do you do next?
What do you do after you clean your
nose? Uh-huh. What's that funny noise they make in the morning?
You gargle.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, because you're a big gargler.
I'm a big gargler. Yes, I'm a big gargler.
Yeah, you are. You are.
Yeah. So what's neat is you can get mouth rinses that will do a bunch of things for you. They'll do double duty or triple duty, I should say, because I have a mouth rinse that has calcium glycerophosphate in it, and that's going to help to re-enamel my teeth. So if I'm old, so I'm starting to have enamel wear. Mm-hmm. So the calcium glycerophosphate is there to help to re-enamel my teeth. And then it has a whole bunch of herbs and CoQ10 in it, which are going to help my gums. That's for your gum health, but the same herbs that can help with your gum health can also kill. They're antimicrobial. That's part of how they help your gums, but it's also because they're astringent and they're antimicrobial. So this product has neem and echinacea and licorice and tea tree oil and a whole bunch of other herbs in it. And so if you swish it in your mouth for a while, for at least a minute, and then when you're done swishing it in your mouth to get your teeth and your gums, then you lean your head back and you gargle for a few seconds. And so the point is that viruses and bacteria collect in your nose and your throat. And so if you clean your nose out twice a day, one to two times a day, you're probably going to head off infections because it takes about 48 hours for a virus to set in. So if you're in the habit of cleaning your nose and cleaning your throat, you're going to be less likely to get sick. And so... So gargling is a really good idea. It's probably a good idea to do it twice a day. You do it, in the morning. So you're zeroing out whatever you breathed in last night, or if anything had a chance to set up while you were sleeping, you're going to clean that out. Also, your dust mites are going to take up shop in your nose overnight. So you'll clean those out and then do it at the end of the day after you've been exposed to all kinds of yuck.
So we love our dust mites.
Yeah, we love our dust mites. Mm. Yes, they're really exciting.
Yeah.
So clean your nose, clean your nose, clean your throat, wash your hands. Those are three big things. And then if you want to try to prevent colds and flus, you want to pull out your. You want to make sure you're getting enough vitamin D and vitamin A. Everybody thinks vitamin C, and vitamin C can be helpful. I would say eat vitamin C-containing foods. So pull out your berries. Your berries, you're going to get some vitamin C from apples, which are in season now, maybe a little bit from pears. You're going to get flavonoids from those things, which are very nice. You can do your citrus. I've taken to putting lemon. I'm using a lot more lemon. I'm finding I have to buy a couple lemons a week because I'm enjoying squeezing lemon into my fizzy water. I'm a big lemon fan.
I saw an interesting thing on how to use the lemon without having it get all brown and weird in the inside.
Oh.
You drill like a little tiny hole down on the very end. Well, uh-huh. Before you do that, actually, you take the lemon and you just roll it on the counter hard with lots of pressure on it, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah.
Then you drill a little tiny hole in the bottom of it, just poke a little hole in the bottom, and you just squeeze out the juice that you need as you need it.
Oh.
And it keeps it all preserved on the inside. I looked at that and went, well, now that's brilliant.
That's interesting.
Isn't it? We're going to have to try that on a lemon.
You could do that. Do that if you want to. I like having a piece of lemon in my drink. I like it sitting there.
Yeah, I know you do.
Because it flavors the drink.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that and, you know, that's interesting. But so maybe we could have one lemon going that you use for culinary purposes,
yeah,
and another one that I use for my drinks.
Yeah, I kind of like it. I'm going to give it a try.
Give it a try. Yeah, that's very interesting. All right, so, and that's an easy way to get some vitamin C is to keep lemon around and put it in your drink, squeeze it on your fish, squeeze it on your salad. Find creative ways to use the lemon. It's always nice to have around lime too. And that's an easy way to get some extra vitamin C in a very bioavailable form. The other thing to remind you is that you're going to get bioflavonoids if you use the rind. So if you use organic citrus and you want to grate rind into your culinary dishes, you know, over your fish or in your salad or whatever, the bioflavonoids, the really heavy anti-inflammatories, are in the pith, in the white stuff.
Pith.
Yes, the white stuff that's in the rind and that the stuff that holds the sections together.
Mm.
The white stuff, that's where the bioflavonoids are.
Right.
So eating those is actually a good thing.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, right. And so prevention too, you can take elder syrup. You can take mushrooms. If you eat mushrooms, mushrooms should be cooked because they have toxins in them when they're raw. So you really shouldn't be eating raw mushrooms. But cooked mushrooms are wonderful. Even if you're eating chicken soup, if you're not a vegetarian, if you're doing bone broth or chicken soup, you're going to get immune globulins. If you're not dairy intolerant, if you consume whey protein, you'll get immune globulins. So if you get yogurt and you get your probiotics, you'll get immune benefits from that too. Making sure your vitamin D and your vitamin A is topped up, that's a good thing too. And you can take a bit of echinacea every day if you want to. If you actually do get sick, then you can take all of these things and just ramp them up. Garlic, if you can eat garlic and you don't have a food intolerance like I do, you can do tons of garlic and do garlic tea and garlic soup and throw garlic in everything. It's a great antimicrobial, and you can eat garlic all season, and that will help to keep you out of it as well. Elder, if you got your elder syrup, you just ramp up the dose. Where you're doing several teaspoons a day, depending on, you know, your size and your needs. And, of course, echinacea combinations that have A, C, zinc. Zinc is a great antimicrobial. If you can find a zinc preparation that doesn't give you a stomach ache, because zinc can make you queasy. If you find a preparation that doesn't give you stomach ache, that can be really helpful, too.
Is there a way of diluting it or something? So
right.
It won't bother your belly as much?
Yeah, maybe. If you take a zinc product, sometimes if you take a zinc product that is in food form, it won't bother your stomach as much. And also, sometimes if you just to head it off, take your zinc with some ginger.
Okay.
Yeah, and that can settle your stomach. Yeah. And I tell people that all the time. If they have to take a medication like doxycycline, for example, that makes you queasy, don't take it with plain water. Take it with ginger. And if it's hard to make ginger tea, I had somebody come in not too long ago, and they had an episode of dizziness in my office. So I ran and got them some water with ginger tincture squeezed into it. So you can get ginger extract in alcohol, and you can keep that around. And if you squeeze that into water, that will take away your that can help to take away your queasiness, and mm-hmm. it can help with dizziness as well. Ginger's magic plant. Ginger is also great anti-inflammatory, and one of the things you could be doing to help treat and prevent colds and flu. So I just wanted to make you aware that the season is here. And the other thing is, as it starts to get colder, you get more interested in sugary treats and sugar. And then soon it will be Halloween, and then there'll be lots of candy around. And then the eating season begins, as Ron calls it. When the eating season begins, there's a lot of sugary stuff around, and sugar will make you sick. I mean, sugar just, it slows down your immune system, slows down the functioning of your white blood cells, and you're going to be more likely to get sick. Also, try a sugar fast if you have a lot of congestion in your nose, you know, just from allergies. Mm. If you stop eating sugar, you may find that you get a lot better. It directly causes inflammation, and if you get off it for a couple of days, you might feel better. It's pretty incredible. So be aware of that. So I just wanted to shout that out there because, you know, I'm seeing people come in sick. And that complaint, my cold always turns into sinusitis. My cold always turns into bronchitis. One suggestion is, if that's the case, you want to be really boosting your immune system all the time. Like, you want to take some kind of immune herbs for a long time. Take it for the whole course of the year just to build your immune system up. So your immune system gets used to going to being on surveillance for when viruses come in. Because it's no fun to get one of those bronchitises where the cough lasts for a couple of weeks. I got another one this year, you know, and it seems like every couple of years I'm good for one of those. I'm lucky that I have pretty patent sinuses, so I don't get the bad sinusitis, but I get I'm more likely to get the bronchitis. And once you get the bronchitis, you're more likely to get the bronchitis because scar tissue, right? So one way to prevent that is to just be immunologically on guard and be doing things regularly to boost your immune system. Vitamin D, elder, and lung herbs. And I think I'm going to do, you know, a lung tonic series just to have lung herbs on board all the time. So I'm, you know, so my lungs get stronger because I think I have a lung miasm because I was born coughing.
You were born, well, we all were, weren't we?
No, I was born coughing for real. Like, they had to put me in an incubator or something like that. I thought
that's one of the reasons why they pat you on the back.
That's so you'll cry.
Oh.
That's so you start crying. And when a baby cries when it's born, that's a good thing because then they're clearing their lungs out. That's a good thing. But I was actually coughing. So that would say to me, I have a tubercular miasm when you think about homeopathically that I have that going on. So I have some lung challenges, and that's why I tend to get the bronchitis. You know, thank goodness I don't appear to have asthma. That's great. But I do get, you know, my colds are more likely to go to my lungs these days. It's no fun. All right. And if that's you, that may mean doing some immune stuff all year, like taking lung tonics all year. If it's your sinuses, then taking, you know, cleaning your nose all year and also taking some basic immune support all year, you know, for a few years until you're in a place where, you know, you can fight it off better. All right. Yeah. So good. So we got that. So we got that going on. All right. So now my next topic is kind of interesting. We want to talk about a little bit about genetic testing and specifically psych genetic testing. So one of the things I'll encourage my patients to do, my patients will sometimes come in, they want natural help for psychiatric illnesses. So whether they have depression going on or bipolar disorder or anxiety, and then sometimes they come in and they're on meds. And if a person is taking a med and it works for them, or they really need to be on meds because they're just not right without psychiatric meds, it's okay. You know, I mean, you have to look at, you always have to do a risk-benefit analysis with pharmaceuticals. And, you know, contrary to what you may believe, is naturopathic physicians, well, maybe some are. I'm not. We are not trained, I'll put it that way. We're not trained to be anti-pharmaceutical. We're trained to be first do no harm. So if you can get away with not doing a pharmaceutical, that's better. But if you have to take a pharmaceutical, and there's sometimes you want to take a pharmaceutical because that's the right thing to do, and that's okay. So with psychiatric illnesses, the issue there is that it's not an exact science. Everybody comes in and they're a little bit different. And when you come in with psychiatric illness, they start, I remember with my dad, they said they start experimenting on you and trying to figure out what is going to work. And they start experimenting because they don't know which combination is going to work for you, whether it's going to be one drug or two drugs or three drugs, and what combination it's going to be, and if it's going to make you better or worse. So not that this is perfect or exact, but now you can get genetic testing done that shows you what tendencies you have in terms of enzymes that break down certain drugs. So you can tell, you can have a little bit of a blueprint that will help you know what psychiatric meds might be helpful for you. So there's a few ways to do that. There's a few companies that do that specific kind of testing, and they give you really neat printouts that are very easy to use, and they give you lists of the drugs by classifications and what you can expect, that it'll be checked off, there'll be no known contraindications, or it'll be checked off that use this with caution, you may have to use lower doses, you may have to use higher doses, or don't use this drug at all, you're going to have a bad reaction to it, you just can't break it down. So it tests for different it tests for different enzymes in your system and sees if you have anomalies in those enzymes. And based on, and that's how it comes up with the results. And the neat thing is, you know, these, that the printouts will have lists of the drugs and how you might react to them. And then it will, some of them even have a graph of which might be the best recommended drug. And you can, and they stack them up side by side so you can compare which one might work better than another drug. So it's really useful. So I've tried, when somebody comes in and they're accessing me for psych issues and they need to be on medication, I encourage them to do one of these tests because I find them really helpful. So it still helps, you know, if you're treating a psychiatric condition, of course, it still helps to eat well, get exercise, get rest. But sometimes people, part of why people are having a psychiatric issue is there are external factors that are making it really hard to get out of that. And they, and depression and anxiety can make it so you can't exercise. You're so depressed you can't get yourself to exercise, that you need to get out of the depression before you can even see the light of day, so you will exercise. Or you're in a life situation where it's very difficult for you to do anything for your own self-care, and that's part of why you're depressed or anxious. So sometimes a pharmaceutical can sort of kick you out of the funk. And there are some that are better than others. They all have side effects, and they all... you know, you have to be careful when you come weaning off them because you get changes in your neurotransmitter, in receptor populations. And so, for example, if you're taking a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor, right? Something that's increasing the amount of available serotonin. What's going to happen is your body is going to look at that and go, ooh, look at all this extra serotonin, better down regulate the receptors. So your body starts kicking out receptor populations, and you have less receptors for serotonin to balance the extra amount of serotonin that's there. So if you all of a sudden stop taking the drug, now you have less receptors and you also have less serotonin, you're going to have symptoms of low serotonin. And so that can be electrical sensations, that can be acute depression, acute anger and anxiety. So all kinds of things that can happen. So you don't, if you're going to come off of a psych med, you always talk to your doctor about it. You don't go off any drugs abruptly. Try not to use the term cold turkey. Cold turkey is a weird term. Do you know
it is a weird term. Where does that come from?
Right. That's going to tell
you. Do
you
know where it comes from?
I do.
Oh, here we go.
Yes. So what cold turkey is, unfortunately, is when you're addicted to an opioid and you abruptly stop an opioid and you detox from an opioid, you get cold and you get goosebumps.
Really?
That's where it comes from. Yep. And you get flu-like symptoms, but you get goosebumps and you feel cold. You know, you get flu-like symptoms. That's where cold turkey comes from. So cold turkey is referring to abruptly stopping an opioid. That's what it is. You know, it came about when people would detox from heroin, right? So saying cold turkey when you're coming off an SSRI isn't precisely correct, because that's not what's happening.
Yeah.
Cold turkey has come to colloquial use. In colloquial use, it means to stop something abruptly. I stopped riding my bike cold turkey, which doesn't make sense, but it does.
I stopped eating gluten cold turkey.
Yes.
You know, I mean, you can do it that way too.
But you didn't have, you weren't cold and you didn't get goosebumps.
Well, I don't know about that.
Did you?
Oh.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago.
Long time ago already.
Like 14 and a half years ago.
It was way long ago.
Long time ago.
Well, it was when you turned 50.
Yeah.
Right, so
14
years ago.
When I met you.
Yeah, all right.
You did that to me.
I know, right? Yeah.
You did.
Well, what do you want to do? You were sick. I wanted to help.
I was. You were a lot of help. You still are.
Thank you. So anyway, so treating psychiatric conditions naturally, like I said, it's self-care is going to be really helpful for all those things. So the thing is, if somebody has a psychiatric condition and they are on board to do some natural medicine, we want to figure out what the right things for it. There are some things that are going to be helpful for them regardless, and there's some neat ways to figure those out too. One of them is I like to do, I encourage people to do Ancestry DNA or 23andMe, and then they get a text file of their genome, and then I can get access to that text file and I can put it into another tool that I have that gives me genetics around enzymes and then it gives me suggestions for what supplements might be helpful for them and what supplements might not be.
So how secure are those things?
How secure are those things?
Yeah, that genetic testing thing. It makes me a little nervous.
I, as far as who has access to it, I don't know
That's
the answer
correct.
To that. I'll invite you to look into that.
I'll
like when you do 23andMe and when you do Ancestry DNA, how secure, who has access to those text files? And can they do things, can they use them other ways? Are they used for research? How are they used? I don't know the answer to that. You get this great information, and a couple of the enzymes you get information about. One of them is MTHFR, which you may have heard us talking about. MTHFR is methylene tetrahydrofolate reductase, and it's an enzyme that helps you convert your folic acid to active folic acid, and it's part of a whole methylation cycle. And the methylation cycle, the result of the methylation cycle, is you make neurotransmitters, which are the compounds that run your brain and your nervous system and, you know, your whole nervous system. You produce protein, you produce RNA and DNA, and you detoxify through this methylation pathway. So the methylation pathway has all kinds of cofactors and intermediaries. Among them, the big ones would be folic acid. And you have to, if you have a problem methylating, so if your MTHFR doesn't work well, you may have to take extra folic acid in an activated form to help that to work correctly. You might also need to take vitamin B12. And the interesting thing about vitamin B12 is in the methylation pathway, you need adenosyl cobalamin. You need it in that form. But methylcobalamin is better absorbed than the synthetic vitamin B12. And when you see cyanocobalamin on a product, cyanocobalamin is synthetic vitamin B12. And we don't make cyanocobalamin, or you even use cyanocobalamin in our bodies, but our bodies can convert cyanocobalamin to adenosylcobalamin. It can't convert methylcobalamin to adenosylcobalamin. But methylcobalamin is better absorbed than cyanocobalamin. So it's good to have a combination. If you have methylation problems, probably a good idea to have a combination of methylcobalamin and adenosylcobalamin. And then there's also hydroxycobalamin, which is pretty easily absorbed and converted. Cyanocobalamin is synthetic. If your product has only that in it, it might not stay around for so long, especially if you have issues with your B12. And so I try to steer people away from cyanocobalamin. But if you had a product that had a combo of cyano and methyl, it might be okay. But I prefer to see methyl and adenosyl anyway.
Wow.
Yeah. So those are things to look for when you're looking for your vitamin B12. So MTHFR can have anomalies. Many B vitamins, B12, B6, folic acid, magnesium, they all are cofactors for this pathway. And so depending what's going on with the person, we might supply those. COMT is another one, catechol-O-methyltransferase. If you have anomalies in that. By the way, if you have an MTHFR anomaly, you can be more prone to anxiety and depression. And also people in the spectrum, people in the autism spectrum, tend to be more likely to have an MTHFR anomaly. And I have an MTHFR, which I tested myself, and I have the bad one. I have the C677T1. So there's two basic variants of the MTHFR anomaly. One is the C677T, and one of them is the A1298C. And the C677T, you're more likely to increase your homocysteine. And homocysteine, when it's elevated, it can irritate your blood vessels and increase your likely to get clotting and blood clots and cardiovascular issues. Homocysteine is supposed to be converted to cysteine, cystathionine, and ultimately glutathione. And so if you have extra homocysteine, you need help in getting that converted. And if you take good quality B12, folic acid, and B6, you can get help with that. COMT is catechol-O-methyltransferase, and that is an enzyme that breaks down catecholamines. So those are your fight or flight, some of your fight or flight neurotransmitters like dopamine, norepinephrine, and epinephrine. And if you have an anomaly in that enzyme, you can be more likely to be anxious. And so, for example, if you have ADHD and you have a COMT anomaly and you don't break down your catecholamines well, it's not a good idea to take the amphetamine, the amphetamine analog ADHD medicines like your
really
your Ritalin and your amphetamine salts. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this information sounds like it's super useful.
Very useful.
There are some major concerns about its privacy.
Right. Okay.
I have a list. If you want to hear it.
Okay, in a minute.
When you're ready.
Thank you. All right. So when you have the information, you can then you can help to dial in. With certain tools, you can help to dial in what supplements you might need. I have other tools that other testing that you can do that tests your blood cell utilization of vitamins. And so instead of seeing how much is in your body to start with, because what's in your body doesn't necessarily tell you how well it's being used. It just tells you how much you consumed. And so when you start looking at blood cell utilization, or at least presence in blood cells, then you get, so when you, for example, when you do red blood cell magnesium, you know that the magnesium has been taken into the blood cell. So it's actually been taken up as opposed to serum magnesium. That all that means is you ate it. It may not be being used, but it's in your serum.
Okay.
So there's even neater tests that that test utilization, that test the right blood cell activity of the vitamins. And those are tests you can get from your friendly local naturopath if you want to. All right. So dialing your B vitamins is really important when you have a psychiatric issue, because the B vitamins are involved, like I said, they're involved in methylation, they're involved in neurotransmitter production, they're involved in metabolism of specific neurotransmitters. So you need vitamin B6, for example, to metabolize serotonin, which is a big one for anxiety and depression. There are other things you can take that help in other ways. If you have any kind of deficiency at all, so if your vitamin D is low, that can give you psychiatric issues. If your iron is low, it can make you tired. It can contribute to psychiatric issues because your body and your brain are not going to be as well oxygenated if you're low in iron. And we like to recommend essential fatty acids. A lot of people are deficient in essential fatty acids. So things like fish oil are going to help to strengthen the cell membranes of all of the nerve cells in your body. CBD hits those cannabidiol and anandamide receptors and helps to cheer you up if it works for you. It doesn't work for everybody, but if it's helpful for you, it may help to make you cheerier. And CBD, as we told you, won't make you high, but it will. It can give you a nice subtle effect, as can theanine. Theanine is an extract of tea. And theanine, again, it's very gentle. It's very subtle. You can take it or not take it. It's not going to hurt you if you skip it. And you can also drink tea and you'll get some theanine. But if you take theanine pills, they're really nice for calming anxiety. I think they help to bring you into the present moment a little bit better. So figuring all that stuff out. There's a couple of companies that will help you to figure out which psychiatric meds might work for you and not. And then there's other companies to help you dial in your methylation and dial in your nutritional supplementation so that you'll be a little bit better. All right. So what are your concerns there?
So, well, there's a few concerns. There's, if we take a look at this, genetic data can be used against you. Federal genetic privacy laws do not apply to life, long-term care, or disability insurers. Direct-to-consumer genetic testing kits might seem like a perfect holiday gift, but these tests risk people's privacy. Okay, so there's that, and then 23andMe says they will not sell, lease, or rent your individual level information to any third party for research purposes without your explicit consent. They do not share customer data with any public databases. So then there's that. And then there's more. This page over here. This is fairly current. This is a 2019 article about genetic testing firms share your DNA more than you think. And the MIT Technology Review predicts that more than 100 million people may be part of a commercial genetic database within the next 2 years. So a lot of people are doing this. That's basically it. Amid controversies over internet companies' collection of personal data, millions are paying to hand over DNA samples to a largely unregulated industry. Some worry that law enforcement, employers, insurance companies could end up with that DNA information. So what it comes down to is you have to be very, very explicit, I think, on the information, and it's out there. I mean, and if the other piece I read too is that if law enforcement needs to get that information, they'll subpoena and get the information for it from your genetic testing.
Right.
So it's not really secure.
You shouldn't do crime things.
I understand that. But my concern is that someone from an insurance company would be impersonating a law enforcement officer, therefore somehow getting your information. The part I don't like is that insurance companies can now see what your issues are and they can decide not to insure you because
right.
of it. Because they do that anyway with what they do know.
Right.
So now if they have a much more in-depth, you know, piece of information that says that your family has Alzheimer's disease and everybody gets it, and now they're not going to insure or cover you for anything in that, you know, I'm just picking that as a possibility. But it just makes me uneasy.
Sure. Yeah. Right, I know. And
but I love the idea that we can get this kind of information because it makes your job it adds to your science,
yes,
which
absolutely.
Is really cool.
Well, you can target your nutrition better. That's mm-hmm. the thing. And you can target, you know, if somebody is having bad reactions to every single drug they take, well, maybe you find out they have a methylation defect and then you fix it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really useful information.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So
I just worry about the protection of it. That's all.
Right. No, yeah. I know. And I've got that Ancestry DNA kit sitting on the table.
You haven't done it yet.
I paid for it.
I know.
I haven't done it.
Yeah. I know. Because I think about it. I think I would like to know. I mean, I would really like to know. But then again, where is that information going?
Well, you should look up. Maybe 23andMe would be the one to do. And the other thing is look up Ancestry DNA and see if Ancestry DNA has that same disclaimer.
Well, these were all pieces from the five big ones here.
Yes.
Hang on just a second here. Law enforcement and federal government can pressure companies into sharing your DNA. Genetic testing companies, I saw this somewhere. Anyway, it seems like they all have clauses in their contracts that say if you don't want your information shared, then you click on this. But as we well know, anybody who's got a good sense of getting around a computer can pretty much hack information from anywhere.
That's true,
so,
too.
So, you know, how secure is it? And it says here, hacking. Obviously, this is not a risk in the genetic testing that the genetic testing industry alone faces, but it's an industry that has a unique set of information on its consumers. And there was a recent hack in the space. This was off of, this is a, I don't have this one right now as to who this is, but Ancestry. There was a recent hack. Somebody got into it, and they say the DNA data specifically was not breached, but the hack is a space of concern regardless.
Right.
And protecting customer data remains Ancestry's highest priority.
Yeah.
A spokeswoman from the company had said.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, it's just, it still makes me nervous. That's all.
Yeah.
I'm just suspicious.
Yeah, no, I understand, and you know that it would be well worth looking into these other kits to see if that information can be used against you somehow.
Right.
I mean, you're not supposed to have pre-existing condition clauses right now.
You're not supposed to.
Right.
But that may change very soon. But
and
you know,
then,
we'll
then
see.
It'll probably change back.
Well, exactly, but that window of time that it changes.
I like peaches. I'm really enjoying peaches. It's a really good
time
of year to eat peaches.
Pre-existing condition of loving peaches.
I love peaches. Peaches are good. Yes, lots of peaches. And I think there's something we can celebrate right now by eating peaches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, eating lots of peaches.
Yeah. We're going to move into the country and we're going to
eat
a lot of peaches.
Yes,
right.
Indeed. That's right. Yay, peaches.
Yay. Shout out to, what's the name of that band?
Presidents of the United States of America.
There you go.
Yeah. So.
There you go.
Yay, peaches. I like stone fruits. They're really good for you. And again, stone fruits are going to have some carotenoids in them because they're, and I think one of the nutrients that peaches have in them is boron. So
boron.
Boron. Yeah. Boron is the neat. It's a neat mineral that's useful.
I was going to say that's like a. It's not a heavy metal though.
No, but it's it helps to prevent osteoporosis.
Oh.
It's part of your bones. It's
well, that's
stuff.
A good thing.
Yeah, so it's often in osteoporosis.
So eat peaches, save your bones.
Yeah.
Eat a peach, save a bone.
And like ride a cowboy, save a horse. Save a horse, ride a cowboy.
Oh God.
Yeah, right.
You
like
went
that.
There.
I did. Uh-huh. Okay. I'm gonna go. So we had a good talk today about a little bit about sprain strain and a little bit about colds and flus and a little bit about genetic testing, pros and cons, and how it can be helpful for you. So you have been listening to Radio Naturopath, the call-in talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host, Ron Meniza. You can also email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. Oh, my. There's one thing that I forgot to do before I go, and that's this. The Willimantic Downtown Country Fair will be this Saturday. It's the 21st annual fair that celebrates our community. It is a free event. They're teaming up with the Willimantic Farmers Market, which runs 8 a.m. to noon. There were over 1,000 people that attended last year. The cancellation will only be for severe weather, and there's no severe weather in the forecast. The Wyndham Community Food Network will coordinate the recycling efforts, which will include composting, recycling, and compostable dinnerware. There will be local bands, Lawn Chair on Mars, community chorus, and teen a cappella. Soloist opening for 12-pack of safety glasses. Soloist opening for the homeschool teens. Zoo Front will be there. Hunter's Moon and the Ben Tetu Band. And there will Willimantic USA will have a community sing and dance along. There'll be local craft vendors from all over the Quiet Corner. Jewelry, candles, photographies, plants, woodworking, pottery, hand-knit items, refurbished guitars, books, print and cards, painting, community info tables. There'll be a repair cafe creating reusable cloth shopping. And then there might even be a bicycle-powered sewing machine. There will be a community weaving project using natural fibers and recycled items, children's creative activities, a bunch of local food vendors, a faith cafe even, and the Fenton River will be there, Isaluna Foods. And so it'll be a really exciting event, and I will be in Florida, unfortunately. But it'll start with the Willimantic Farmers Market at 8 a.m., which will go from 8 a.m. to noon, and then the whole Willimantic Downtown Country Fair will go on, I'm assuming, until 5 o'clock. Oh, I'm sorry. The actual Willimantic Downtown Country Fair this Saturday, September 28th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Bummer. I'm not going to be around.
I'm not going to be around.
I know.
Me neither. Mm. So there you go. All right. So I will continue to sign off here. And let's see. So as I said, if you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org. You can also leave questions or comments at my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at FranStorchND. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath in 3 weeks. You'll be listening to previously recorded episodes.
Encore
for the next 2 weeks. For the next 2 weeks. Because I'll be in Florida next week, and in 2 weeks it will be Yom Kippur.
Right.
And I'll be fasting. Mm. So yeah, I'll be here, but I'll be in synagogue.
Yeah, but you'll be tipping over. Yeah. No, you'll be in synagogue, right.
So we'll see you on October the 16th, live once again. At 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores.